Welcome to your personalized deep dive. We're diving into the world of on-device AI today, based on that awesome stack of research you sent over.
Yeah, it's a fascinating field and it's moving at lightning speed.
Okay, so first things first, when we talk about on-device AI, we're talking about AI that lives and works right on your device, not in some far-off server farm, right?
That's right. Think of it as having a mini supercomputer tucked away in your pocket or perched on your kitchen counter.
So my phone is doing the thinking itself. That seems like a pretty big deal.
It is, and it unlocks some serious advantages. For starters, speed on-device AI means instant responses because the data doesn't have to travel to the cloud and back.
So no more waiting for that little spinning wheel while your phone tries to figure out what you're asking.
Exactly, and because all the processing happens locally, it addresses a big concern these days, privacy. Your data stays on your device, which is especially important when we're talking about things like health information or personal preferences.
So it's like having a personal AI assistant who's also sworn to secrecy.
That's a great way to put it. And there's another big perk on device. AI works even when you're offline. No internet. No problem.
Okay, now you've got me really intrigued. What are some examples of how this is already playing out in the real world?
Well, your smartphone is a prime example. Think about voice assistants like Siri or Google Assistant. They rely on on-device AI to understand your commands and respond in real time. Without it, they'd be a lot less helpful.
And what about those amazing camera features that seem to work magic on my photos? Is that on-device AI too?
Absolutely. AI is working behind the scenes to identify objects, adjust settings, and even touch up your photos automatically.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. But smartphones are just the tip of the iceberg, right? What about the Internet of Things?
That's where things get really interesting. On-device AI is what allows your smart home to actually be smart. It's what enables your thermostat to learn your preferences and adjust the temperature automatically, or your security system to distinguish between a friendly face and a potential intruder.
So it's not just about convenience, it's about creating a living environment that anticipates your needs and keeps you safe.
Exactly. And it goes beyond homes. In industries like agriculture on device, AI is being used to monitor crops, optimize irrigation, and even identify plant diseases early on, which could have huge implications for food security and sustainability.
It sounds like the potential applications are practically limitless.
They really are. And it's not just about making things smarter on device. AI is also changing the game when it comes to speed and responsiveness, especially with the rise of edge computing.
Edge computing, that's one of those terms I've heard tossed around, but I'm not sure I fully grasp it.
Think of it this way. Instead of sending data to the cloud for processing, edge computing brings the processing power closer to the source of the data, often right onto the device itself.
So what kind of real-world impact does that have?
Imagine a traffic management system that can analyze traffic patterns in real time and adjust traffic signals to reduce congestion. That's edge computing, powered by on-device AI.
Or security cameras that can instantly analyze footage to detect potential threats without having to send all that data to a remote server.
Exactly. And that real-time processing ability is critical in situations where every millisecond counts, like in autonomous driving.
Speaking of autonomous driving, that seems like something straight out of science fiction. Is on-device AI really advanced enough to make that a reality?
It's not just advanced enough, it's essential. Self-driving cars rely heavily on on-device AI to understand their surroundings and make split-second decisions.
Yeah.
It's what allows them to navigate complex environments, identify obstacles, and respond to changing conditions all in real time.
So it's processing data from sensors like cameras and radar to make sense of the world around it.
Exactly. And the speed and responsiveness of on-device AI is what makes autonomous vehicles possible.
Okay, so we've got smart homes, smart cities, self-driving cars. What about healthcare? It seems like on-device AI could have huge implications there too.
You're absolutely right. Think about medical devices that can provide faster and more accurate diagnoses right at the point of care.
Or smartwatches that can continuously monitor your heart rhythm and alert you to potential problems even before you notice any symptoms.
Exactly. On-device AI allows for personalized healthcare based on real-time data. Imagine a future where your smartwatch can detect early signs of a heart attack and automatically call for help, potentially saving your life.
This is all incredibly exciting, but I have to ask, are there any limitations to on-device AI? It can't all be smooth sailing, right? You're right, it can't all be sunshine and roses. So what are the challenges? What's holding on-device AI back from reaching its full potential?
Well, imagine trying to cram all the power of a supercomputer into something as small as your smartphone. That's the fundamental challenge of on-device AI-limited resources.
Okay, so break that down for me. What kind of resources are we talking about?
We're talking processing power, storage space, even something as basic as battery life. These devices are tiny but mighty, but even the latest and greatest have their limits.
So even if you can make the AI model fit on the device, it might not actually be able to run effectively.
Exactly. It's like trying to run a marathon on a treadmill that's only meant for walking. You might be able to take a few steps, but you're not going to get very far.
Okay. I'm starting to see the hurdles here. So yeah. What are researchers doing to overcome these limitations? Are they just throwing their hands up in defeat?
Not at all. They're coming up with some incredibly clever solutions. One of the key areas they're focusing on is model compression. Think of it like packing for a trip. You want to fit as much as possible into your suitcase without exceeding the weight limit.
So you're trying to make the AI models smaller and more efficient without sacrificing the essentials?
Precisely. And there are a few different techniques they use to achieve this. One is called pruning. Imagine you have a tree with lots of branches, but some of those branches are dead or not producing any fruit. Pruning involves getting rid of those unnecessary branches to make the tree healthier and more efficient.
So you're not cutting down the whole tree, just streamlining it.
Exactly. In the context of AI, those branches represent the connections between neurons in the model. Some connections are crucial, while others are less important. Pruning is about identifying and removing those weaker connections without sacrificing the overall performance of the model.
So you're essentially getting rid of the dead weight, making the AI model leaner and faster.
That's right. And the amazing thing is you can often prune away a significant chunk of the model without losing much of any accuracy. It's a win-win situation, a smaller, more efficient model that still delivers the goods.
Okay, that makes sense. What about those other techniques you mentioned?
Well, another powerful technique is called quantization. This one's a bit more technical, but essentially it involves reducing the precision of the numbers used in the AI model's calculations. Think of it like using slightly rounded numbers instead of highly precise ones.
So instead of using a number like 3.14159, you might use 3.14 and the result wouldn't be that different.
Exactly. And while those tiny adjustments might seem insignificant, they can have a huge impact on the model's efficiency, allowing it to run faster and use less power.
So it's like finding a shortcut that doesn't sacrifice the quality of the final destination.
That's a great way to put it. And these techniques can be combined to achieve even greater reductions in model size and complexity. Researchers are constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible, and the results are pretty mind-blowing.
It really is amazing how they're able to squeeze so much power into such tiny devices. But it's not just about the models themselves, right? What about the software and hardware that these models run on? Are there advancements there too?
Absolutely. Think of it like building a custom race car. You need a powerful engine, but you also need a lightweight chassis, aerodynamic design, and high-performance tires to really unlock its full potential. The same goes for on-device, AI. Optimizing the software and hardware is just as important as optimizing the models themselves.
So it's about creating an environment where these AI models can truly thrive?
Precisely. On the software side, we're seeing the emergence of specialized frameworks and libraries specifically designed for on-device AI. These frameworks provide the tools and infrastructure needed to train, optimize, and deploy AI models efficiently on these resource-constrained devices.
So it's like giving the AI a set of high-performance tools to work with.
That's a great analogy. These frameworks handle tasks like memory management, resource allocation, and communication with the hardware, ensuring that the AI models run smoothly and efficiently, even on devices with limited processing power and memory.
And what about the hardware side of things? You mentioned GPUs and AI chips earlier. How are those playing a role in this evolution?
Well, GPUs, or graphics processing units, were initially designed for rendering graphics. But it turns out they're also incredibly good at the type of parallel processing that AI requires. They can handle the massive number of calculations that AI models demand, making them a perfect fit for on-device AI.
So they're like the heavy lifters providing the muscle needed to power these complex AI algorithms.
Exactly. And then we have AI chips, which are even more specialized. These chips are custom designed to accelerate the specific types of calculations used in AI, making them even faster and more efficient than general-purpose processors.
So it's like having a brain specifically designed for AI, optimizing every aspect of the processing.
Precisely. And these hardware advancements are happening at an incredible pace. Every year, we see new chips and processors that are smaller, faster, and more power efficient, making it possible to run increasingly complex AI models on even the tiniest devices.
It sounds like we're on the verge of a real breakthrough in on-device AI, but what does this all mean for the average person? How will these advancements impact our daily lives?
That's the exciting part. On-device AI is poised to revolutionize countless aspects of our lives, from the way we interact with technology to how we manage our health and homes. And the best part is a lot of this is already happening right now.
Okay, I'm all ears. Paint me a picture of what a future powered by on-device AI might look like.
Let's start with your smartphone. Imagine a voice assistant that can not only understand your commands, but also anticipate your needs. It could learn your preferences, your schedule, and even your mood to provide truly personalized assistance throughout the day.
So it's not just about setting alarms and making calls. It's about having a truly intelligent assistant that acts like an extension of your own mind.
Exactly. Your smartphone could become a personalized health coach, analyzing your activity levels, sleep patterns, and even your diet to provide real-time feedback and recommendations to help you live a healthier life.
That's amazing. And what about smart homes? How will on-device AI transform the way we live?
Imagine a home that truly adapts to you, a home that anticipates your needs and seamlessly adjusts to your preferences. Your lights could automatically dim as the sun sets your lawn. Your thermostat could maintain the perfect temperature for your arrival. And your security system could keep a watchful eye on your property, all without you having to lift a finger.
So it's not just about automation. It's about creating a living space that feels intuitive and responsive to your every need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in healthcare, the possibilities are truly transformative. Imagine wearable devices that can continuously monitor your vital signs and detect potential health issues before they become serious problems.
So early detection and intervention, potentially saving lives.
Precisely. And with on-device AI, those devices could even provide personalized treatment recommendations based on your unique health data, taking personalized medicine to a whole new level.
This is all starting to sound less like science fiction and more like a glimpse into our very near future.
It is. And as on-device, AI continues to evolve the line between what's possible and what's imaginable will become increasingly blurred. But as with any powerful technology, it's important to consider the potential downsides, the ethical implications that we need to be mindful of as we move forward.
Okay, let's talk about that. What are some of the concerns that we need to address as on-device AI becomes more sophisticated and integrated into our lives? It seems like we're on the cusp of some pretty incredible breakthroughs, but as you mentioned, with great power comes great responsibility. What are some of the things we need to be thinking about as on-device AI becomes more and more prevalent?
Well, one of the biggest concerns, and rightfully so, is data privacy. As on-device AI gets smarter and more capable, it will inevitably have access to more of our personal data. Everything from our health records to our browsing history, even our conversations, could potentially be processed by these on-device AI systems.
That does raise some red flags. So how do we ensure that our data remains protected, especially as these AI systems become more sophisticated?
That's the million-dollar question, and there's no easy answer. But one of the most important things we can do is prioritize privacy by design. That means building privacy safeguards into these AI systems from the ground up, rather than trying to bolt them on as an afterthought.
So baking in those protections from the very beginning.
Exactly. Things like data encryption access controls and anonymization techniques can help ensure that sensitive data remains protected, even if the device falls into the wrong hands.
Okay, that makes sense. But privacy is just one piece of the puzzle. What about the potential for bias? How do we ensure that these AI systems are fair and equitable in their decision-making?
That's another crucial consideration. AI models are trained on data, and if that data reflects existing biases in society, the AI can inadvertently perpetuate those biases. It's like teaching a child using only outdated textbooks. They'll end up with a skewed understanding of the world.
So garbage in, garbage out, as they say. How do we address that? How do we make sure that these AI systems aren't perpetuating harmful stereotypes or discriminating against certain groups of people?
Well, it starts with the data. We need to ensure that the data used to train these AI models is diverse, representative, and free from harmful biases. And it doesn't stop there. We also need to develop techniques to detect and mitigate bias in the algorithms themselves.
So it's not just about cleaning up the data. It's about making sure the algorithms themselves are fair and impartial.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process, and it requires constant vigilance and a commitment to ethical development. We need to be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to addressing these issues.
This all sounds incredibly complex. Are there any organizations or initiatives working to address these challenges?
Absolutely. There's a growing movement within the AI community focused on developing ethical guidelines and best practices for on-device AI organizations like the Partnership on AI and the AI Now Institute. are doing some fantastic work in this area, bringing together researchers, policymakers, and industry leaders to address these critical issues.
That's encouraging to hear. It sounds like there's a real awareness of the potential pitfalls and a genuine effort to steer this technology in a positive direction.
There is, and that's really the key takeaway here. On-device AI has incredible potential to improve our lives in countless ways, but it's up to us to ensure that it's developed and used responsibly.
So it's a collective responsibility. It's not just up to the researchers and engineers. We all have a role to play in shaping the future of this technology.
I couldn't agree more. The more we understand about on-device AI, the better equipped we'll be to navigate the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead.
This has been an absolutely fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much ground, from the technical intricacies to the societal implications. Before we wrap things up, is there a final thought you'd like to leave our listener with?
I'd say this: the future of on-device AI is bright, but it's a future we need to build together. By engaging in these conversations, demanding transparency, and advocating for ethical development, we can ensure that on-device AI benefits everyone, not just a select few.
That's a powerful message. It's been an absolute pleasure exploring this topic with you, and I have a feeling our listener is walking away with a whole new perspective on the power and potential of on-device AI.
The pleasure was all mine. And remember, this is just the beginning of the conversation. Stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged. The future is in our hands.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration of the world around us.